Got a few announcements this morning. Most of them are in your bulletin, but I've got a couple additional announcements. Let's see. 2018 calendars are here, and the fundraiser this year is for paving the parking lot. So remember that the calendars make wonderful Christmas presents, so go ahead and they are for sale back on the information desk. But a couple extra additional announcements. Andrew Hobson. Nikki wants to thank us for her prayers, for our prayers for his latest surgery. He's doing well, but can't really take any visitors yet because of infection concerns. But again, she just wanted to express her thanks for the prayers. Now, nursery volunteers. This is a big one. We are working on getting the updated schedule for the 2018 year. And anyone who is interested in volunteering for the nursery, whether on a permanent or rotation basis, you can see Teresa Pate, Nikki Hobson, who is not here today, she's home with Andrew, but or Paige Payton. Any of them can get you added to the nursery rotation. And I guess that's it for this morning. All right.
I have one more.
Oh, there you go.
I was supposed to tell Mitzi this, and I was talking, and I didn't get it to her before she started me, so I'm sorry, Mitzi. But I just wanted us as a church to know that Bradley Milam went home to be with the Lord this week. His funeral is today. Of course, many of you might not know Bradley, but those we old folks around here, we do, because he's one of the Milams, and he's Durwood's brother and Bobby Wilson's brother, and a fine guy. His funeral today is at 2 o'clock at Rootville Road. So y'all remember this family, okay? Thank you.
Good morning. If y'all stand with us, we're going to begin our worship this morning with singing In Christ Alone.
Oh,
house of worship this morning, God. Lord, thank you for the fall weather outside. Lord, we pray for Preacher Neil this morning as he preaches up at Christ the King. And God, we just praise you and thank you for Bryson and just blessing this church with a youth minister who can fill in and preach more than sufficiently for Neil, God. Lord, we just pray that you open our hearts and prepare us for this service, God, as we continue to worship you. God, as Morgan and Brooke sing this special song for us, I pray that you will open our hearts to it too and let us just be reminded about how you have the power to break bonds and chains, God, because you did rise from the grave, Lord, and you do command our destiny, God. Lord, thank you for those sweet promises we hear through our worship this morning, God. Lord, I love you and praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. The choir is not going to sing a special this morning. Morgan and Brooke are, as you might have just heard me say. But I did just want to let y'all know our choir is 5 weeks away from our Christmas performance. And we still have plenty of room for anybody who wants to sing with us. If you're sitting out there and you've thought about it, or if you've sitting out there and you've only came to a couple practices, it's not too late. There's CDs on the back table. And we'll practice starting at 4:45 today. 4:45 today, because we do have those 5 weeks only until our Christmas program. So you can go ahead and mark your calendars for December 10th. The adults, the children and the youth are all singing in the adult program, and we'll do it that morning. And then that evening, the kids have a special program for you too. So go ahead and mark your calendars for December 2nd. kind of continue that idea about just the power and the wonder and the greatness that just the name of Jesus holds. This is a song that we've not necessarily sang as a congregation in here, but we've sang it a lot in the youth, and if you listen to Christian radio, you've heard it. But it's I think it's called The Name of Jesus. It's a Hillsong version of a song, but it's very pretty, and once you hear the chorus, it'll be the same every time, and it'll just kind of change up some words. So if y'all will stand up with us this morning, we're going to sing What a Beautiful Name It Is.
Thank you.
can break chains, that can break bonds, that can change lives, God, that can solve every problem we have if we have just enough faith and trust to put into you, Lord, and trust that it's in your hand. God, we love you and praise you and thank you. I pray that you open up our hearts and clear our conscience for this time of study, God. Lord, use Bryson as a vessel and speak to each one of us this morning. May our hearts be open and our minds be cleared. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Children are dismissed with...
Good morning. Go ahead if you have your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12. I know the bulletin says that we're only going to do verse 1, but the Lord led to verse 2 as well. So Romans 12, 1 and 2. I guess there's a couple of elephants in the room that we need to go ahead and address. I am not Neil Aubrey. I'm Bryson Shoemake. I'm the youth minister here. And so if this is your first time here, please do not run. I am not normally up here, so please, if you don't run away just because I'm up here. You know, Neil will be back next week. Neil's at Christ the King preaching for Kirk, who's in Atlanta preaching for one of his seminary professors. And so I told somebody earlier I was just the third wheel in the clog here. You know, I'm just the next person up, just keep cycling through. So as we begin here, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we love you. We praise you and thank you for who you are. We thank you for Jesus. Just the fact that you sent your son to die for us. Such an unworthy people. But you love us anyway. You show us your everlasting mercy and grace. Lord, I pray that we just dig into your word this morning, Lord, and find that it applies to us, Lord, that we need to continue the race, Lord, just to draw closer to you. I love you and praise you and thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And it's your name we pray. Amen. I just want to start out real quick because I don't get a chance to do this much, but for those of you who don't know, we have an awesome youth group. We really do. We have awesome volunteers and awesome youth and people that are just, you know, they come and they're ready to serve. They're ready to worship. You know, we have our own worship band and we have small groups and leaders. And so I just want to let you know how blessed we are to have a youth that I pray is growing in their faith so that one day they can move to where you are and they can challenge the youth of the next generation to move to where they are and that we can continue to build disciples of Christ. And so I just wanted to go ahead and get that out of the way early, is we have an awesome youth group and just wanted to let you all know that if you haven't had time to spend with them, that it's a blessing every time I get to be with them. And so, all right, now we'll move on to what the Lord hopefully is going to work through this morning. Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Being a living sacrifice, it is not a call to simply a ritualistic activity, but the involvement of heart, mind, and will in worship and obedient service to Christ. There's a couple of different sections that I took out of these two verses that I feel like have a message within each section. And so in verse 1 Romans 12, it says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." So we're going to stop right there. In view of God's mercy, what does that mean? What is he trying to say? He's saying before we can get to living your life as a living sacrifice, before we can get to renewing of your mind, we have to know that all of this, none of this can take place if it wasn't for God's mercy. We have no ability to live for him if he hadn't sent Christ to die for us. Nothing, none of this is possible without Christ being glorified first. And so, if you look at the first 11 chapters of Romans, I encourage you to read it on your own, but just a quick little summary is the first 11 chapters of Romans are basically summed up into the fact that God has found a way to be merciful to sinners through Jesus Christ. Paul talks about the fact that it doesn't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. None of us are righteous. None of us have the ability to follow. None of us have the ability to be righteous except through Christ. Christ was a necessary factor. And before we can get to any of the rest of this, we have to realize that we have to have a complete reliance on God, a complete reliance on Christ. Because without him, we are nothing. John 15, 1 through 8, to me, is a good example of Christ showing this, or a good example of Christ talking about the reliance that we need on him. In John 15, verses 1 through 8, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. A complete reliance on Christ. Christ calls himself the true vine, and we are simply branches. Christ provides the nourishment. Christ provides the ability to produce fruit. If I am disconnected from the vine, I am useless. If I am disconnected from Christ, I am dead. A living sacrifice has to have life, but it is life dependent on Christ. A living sacrifice is called to be completely reliant on who Christ is and what he did for us. That's the first step in this. We can't move on anywhere else until we realize that none of it is possible. We can do nothing without Christ dying on the cross for us. If we haven't accepted that, if we haven't called out to him, if we haven't asked him into our lives, if we haven't asked him to be our Savior, then none of the rest of these verses matter. Because he is where we have to begin. Christ is where we have to begin. We cannot attempt to rely on our own strength, our own flesh, our own power, and expect to have what it takes to be a living sacrifice. Expect to be a sacrifice that's completely subservient to Christ. Romans 8:8 says, those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. And the whole point of a sacrifice is that it pleases God. So how can I continue to live in my flesh? How can I continue to try to move forward in my own power and expect to please God? Expect to be a sacrifice for him if I'm trying to do it on my own? It's impossible. Christ has to be at the forefront of this. It has to be about him first, him and him only, and then we can move on to the rest of this passage. But it has to be, we have to know that we need him first. How do I expect to be holy and pleasing to God as a withered up branch trying to survive without nourishment from the vine? It's impossible. I have to seek his power first. I have to seek his spirit in me first before any of these other things can take place. A living sacrifice is totally and completely reliant on the fulfillment and provision that comes from Christ. It's a daily surrender, a daily putting away of the flesh, a daily sacrifice of the flesh, and a daily being fed by Christ. Christ is the beginning of this being a living sacrifice. He is what we have to look to first before any of the rest of this can even be a possibility. He is the beginning of living the rest of our lives for Him. It starts with knowing that we need Him. It starts with knowing that He's the vine. It starts with knowing that I am nothing without Him. I have to get to that place where I know that my strength, my ability is nothing. It's all about Him. It's all about Christ. And so, once we've established that we need Christ, once we have established that He is our Savior and He is our Lord and nothing else is possible without Him, we can move on to another section in Romans chapter 12. And so in the rest of verse 1, it says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, if you go on to look at into the rest of chapter 12, which I encourage you to do at some point, but if we tried to do all of chapter 12 today, we'd be here a while. And I know I've already kind of set a precedent that I don't talk as long as Neil does. So, you know, I don't want to break that up. So I'm not going to get into all of chapter 12. You know, I'm going to try to keep it short and concise because I've kind of set that precedent. So we're going to go with just the first couple of verses of chapter 12. But if you read the rest of it, it is saturated with a call to be merciful. It calls us to reach out to people in mercy, to show them mercy. The bottom line need of every human in the world is mercy from God through Jesus. We've just talked about that, right? We all need mercy. We all needed it then. We all need it now. We need it in the future because we are weak. We are of the flesh. And so everyone needs mercy, and the rest of chapter 12 talks about that. But what verse 1 says is that we must know we need God, and then we must worship Him, and then we can be merciful. We must first have our minds and hearts set on the worship of Christ, the worship of who He is, before we can ever expect to be truly merciful to people. To truly live for Him, we must know that we must worship Him first, and then we can be merciful to others. A sincere heart of worship for who Christ is and what He has done for us is necessary for us to be a living sacrifice for Him. This isn't just singing or instrument playing like we did this morning, which was beautiful, by the way. Thank you all for the worship this morning. It was powerful. But it's not just that. It's a life, an everyday life represented by worshiping Christ. Your earthly body, our skin and our flesh, is only made for one reason, and that is to worship Christ. We have these bodies. We're a creation, right? God created us, and we have these bodies, but He created us not for our own selves, so that we may use our bodies as a visible sign of worship to Him. We all know that the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrifice for sin, was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He's not asking me to sacrifice my body so that I can cover sin. That's impossible. I can cover no sin. Jesus did that. Jesus is the one and only sacrifice. You know, John the Baptist said in John 1:29, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He didn't say, "Behold, Bryson." You know, he didn't say, "Behold, Jeff." He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world." I can't do that. So that's not the sacrifice that He's calling me to have. That's not a living sacrifice. That's not offering my body. What He's asking for is that the way I live my life be a representation of what He's done in here. He's not asking for us to have a perfect body. Can I get an amen for that? Because I tell you what, I'd be in trouble if He was asking me to have a perfect body. I'll go ahead and tell you that right now. I've been working on my dad bod for a while now. I'm getting ready, so you know everybody's not so surprised whenever I do. You know, I was like, I don't want anybody surprised whenever I get older and turn into the dad bod. I'll take it from 13 years old and dad bod till I die, right? So it's great that he doesn't ask me to have a perfect body. What he asks is that I have an earthly body that adequately represents a heart of worship for him. That this body that I have is a vessel, is a vehicle that allows people to see God's grace and mercy and love through me. This body is not mine, it's his. And when he looks at me, he sees perfection because he doesn't see Bryson in the flesh. He sees the Holy Spirit of Christ living inside of Bryson. He sees the work of Christ being done through Bryson. If Bryson was what he was looking for, he'd turn away because Bryson is not worthy. But what is worthy is the fact that Jesus died. I know I need him. I'm relying upon him. I need Jesus so much. He sends his Spirit to live in me, and God can look down and say, I see my son in Bryson. And I need to have so much joy and hope and love for people and for Christ that whenever it boils up inside of me, it comes out through my actions. It comes out through the way I live my life. The Lord wants our actions, our love, our lives to represent a changed heart that comes only from salvation through Jesus. My hands and my feet, my ears, my eyes, all of me is a beautiful creation from God. And that beauty is not because of my flesh, but because of how I use it to show Christ's love and mercy. We are, or we should be, a living, breathing representation of the fruits of the Spirit that come from Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own?" Verse 20 says, "You were bought with a price. Honor God with your bodies." I am not mine. I don't own this body. I'm renting it. I'm renting it until the time that Jesus calls me home so that I can leave this dad bod of an earthly body and go be with Christ. This is not mine. And Christ really says, why would you want it? The only thing it's used for is to show others my Spirit in you. That's what this body's for. And so when he asks us to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, we are sacrificing our control and giving it over to the Spirit and saying, use it. Use this body. I know you can. Use this body for your glory. Not that I can do anything to earn my salvation, but it's that the fact that I have so much faith in Christ, I have so much love for him, he's filling me up so much that it overflows into what I use this body for. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips that openly profess his name. Do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Have confidence." No, that's not right. I'm stopping there. To share with others for which such sacrifices God is pleased. We use our bodies, our lips, our lungs, our hands, our feet to sing and make music to God. That is worship. But using our hands to dig a well in Africa, because God led us to do so, that is also worship. Opening our arms to hug someone in a time of need, that is worship. Giving up a little of what we have so that someone somewhere can have something at all, that is worship. Worship isn't simply the singing and the praising of God. That's a part of it, but worship is what we do with our lives on a daily basis. Worship is allowing Christ to show His love and mercy to other people through us each day. A living sacrifice. Living each day, not just on Sundays, right? I'm not called just to be a living sacrifice when I come in here and then Monday through Saturday I'm good to do what Bryson wants to do. If that's what I think this is, then I really need to pray and seek and try to find out the truth, because we are called to live each day for Him, not just Sunday. Life is to be worshipful to God. We need Him. Then we worship Him. And then we can move on from there. I have a short story illustration that I would like to talk about. And it's going to sound like all of my stories come from this one trip. I'm sure all of you, I don't know that I used it last time, but I use this trip as an illustration a lot when I'm with the youth. But I went to Africa on a mission trip. And all the youth are back there smiling because they're like, I don't know, I think I've heard every story from Africa. But no, it was just a powerful time. And so I went to Zimbabwe on a mission trip. And I have to be completely honest, it wasn't because I just like felt overwhelmingly pushed to go there. A lot of it was because Brooke was going. And I said, Brooke's not going to Africa without me. I got to protect her, you know, so I'm going. But anyway, in Africa where we went in Zimbabwe, there's a town called Mashoko. That's where we did our mission. And in Mashoko is a hospital. And it's the only hospital in I don't know how many miles around this area, but I would say probably hundreds of miles. It's the only hospital. And in that hospital is the man who was part of starting this hospital. His name was Dr. B. We call him Dr. B because I can't pronounce his last name. But Dr. B was a great man and a great representation of a living sacrifice for Christ. Dr. B is a doctor, probably one of the smartest men I've ever met. Just, he could do anything, you know, he was well-spoken. He was educated in America. And Dr. B could have easily went to America, been educated, got his citizenship, and stayed and made a lot of money in America. Boy, could he have, because he's a great doctor. But Dr. B felt called back home. He felt called back to Mashoko, to this little village. And so Dr. B went back and started this hospital. And they accept people from all the surrounding villages, people living in huts, people who have never heard of Jesus Christ. And what Dr. B did is he said, I don't want to just heal these people physically. I want to tell them about the one that can heal them spiritually. He said, these people, they've never heard of Jesus. The only thing they've ever heard is that the witch doctor's three huts down, maybe they can help you. They've never heard of who Jesus is or what He did for them. So Dr. B said, my job is to use the mind that Christ gave me, to use the intelligence that He put inside of me to not only heal people physically, but to point them to Jesus Christ and to say, this is the one that can heal you spiritually. This is the one that you need to go to. I'm simply a man, but Jesus is Lord. And so that's what Dr. B does. Nobody comes into that hospital without hearing the word of Jesus Christ. Dr. B doesn't have a lot of money. You know, they heal people. They bring people in and basically say, if you don't have the money to pay, if you'll go out there and paint that building, that's your pay. You know, if you don't have the money to pay, you go out there and you cut that grass and that's your money. That's all we ask. Dr. B gave up things that would make his earthly self happy, the money and the easy living. And he went back home and he said, these people need to know about Jesus. Dr. B is so filled with the Spirit of Christ that it overflows to his patients. That is what we're talking about, is offering your body, offering your life as a life of worship, as a sacrifice to Christ. And what a great example he was for me, that he offered his body as a living sacrifice. All right, and now we're going to move on. Just one more point. I said, I told you I'd be brief. A transformed view. If we go back to Romans chapter 12 and we go into verse 2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." This is the transformation of mind and spirit. We have a renewed mind by setting our minds on the glory of Christ, by reading the Word of God, by pursuing Christ and allowing the Spirit to change us from the inside out. We must pursue Christ, but we also must know that we need the Spirit to help us embrace what we pursue. You know, if I just read the Bible and don't invite the Spirit to explain it to me, then I'm just reading words on a page. It is when the Spirit renews my mind, when I get the earthly mind out of the way and move into the Spirit, that it shows me what it truly wants me to do. That is the application factor of this, is not that I'm simply reading the words, but that I'm allowing the words to be shown to me. If we simply set our minds on things that we see in this world, we are not going to be able to have a renewed mind. You know, if the only thing I'm intaking is the world, I take in the world, I take in the world, I take in the world, well, guess what? My mind's going to be on the world. But it's when we read God's Word, we take in time with fellow believers, we discuss God, we talk about Jesus, we have those times of worship, we go over, have our small groups whenever we're having youth, and we really dig into what He's saying, we really allow the Spirit to show us what He's saying, that's when our mind is renewed. What greater example of a transformed view, a renewed mind, than the author of this book? Paul. If you know the story of Paul, Paul was Saul, and Saul was breathing out murderous threats against Christians. And one day on the road to Damascus, Paul was shown, Jesus came in front of Paul and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" Paul went blind. He was taken back to a village. And eventually, after prayer and after being taught by the other disciples about Jesus, Paul became a disciple of Jesus and went on to write most of the New Testament. Paul's mind before this was on the world, was on Paul. What can Paul do to get more power? What can Paul do for himself? But then Jesus came into Paul's life. Paul looked to Jesus. He asked the Spirit to change him, and Paul became one of the greatest Christians to ever live. Not because Paul was great, but because the power of Jesus in Paul was great. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." We need this. We need to read this. We need to be in it daily. I need to be in it more than I am now, because without it, I don't know the instructions. This is God-breathed. God's in this book. It's a living book. And I need it. I need to read it and allow the Spirit to show me what it's saying so that my mind can be renewed. So that my outlook on life can be different. Because if my mind is renewed and I get to the point where I will be able to test and approve what God's will is, when I will know His will, that's the end result. That's what we want. That's what I want, is to know that I need Jesus, to worship Him through my body as a living sacrifice, for my mind to be renewed so that I will know and be able to do the will of God. It's a process. I don't know if any of you all have heard about this, but over in Coweta County at East Coweta High School, one of those groups, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, approached the coach and the superintendent of schools over there because the coach was part of a prayer at the school with the football team. And so basically they said, you know, he can't be a part of the prayer. He can't he can't even be over there acknowledging that they're praying. And I'm going to be honest with you. My first reaction was anger. I was angry. How dare they? How dare they say this? How dare they? You know, that's the my first earthly reaction was, man, that makes me mad. But then I prayed about it. And God said, you need to pray for those people. Your first reaction can't be anger. Your first reaction has to be love and mercy. Because if you're full of my spirit, you want those people that are bringing those allegations against East Coweta, you want them to know me. And how are they going to know me if the first reaction that you have towards them is anger? How are they going to know me, my love and my mercy, if that's not what shows? We need to want those people so badly to know Jesus. Because anger is not going to change them. Anger is not going to allow them to see their need for Jesus. Only love and mercy through him, through his spirit overflowing in us, that's the only thing that can change them. He is the only thing that can change their hearts. I think about my reaction and the reaction of Stephen. Stephen is being stoned to death. And Stephen looks up and he says, do not hold this sin against them. Stephen had a transformed view of life. Stephen was so full of the Spirit of God that it overflowed in him. And he said, these people are killing my earthly body, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to be with you. And so do not hold this sin against them. I want these people to know what I have. I want these people to know Christ. And boy, if we could only get to that place, if I could only get to that place in my life that I was so full of the Spirit of God, that I seeked him so much that in the view of all circumstances, my mind could be renewed. I could worship him with my life. I could show others him through being a living sacrifice. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for your word, the power in it, but also the application for our own lives. Lord, I pray for that I just continue to be renewed, Lord, that you continue to work in me so that one day I can have the patience and the fruits of the Spirit that the disciples had and that Stephen had and that the Apostle Paul had. Lord, I want to be filled with you, filled to the brim, so overflowing that nothing can stop me from showing your love and mercy to other people, Lord. Give me humility. I need you so much, Lord. I thank you for your Son who died on the cross for our sins, Lord. Make me reliant upon him. It's your name we pray. Amen.